Luke chapter 6, verse 21b and 25b. This is the reading of God's word. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word that we may truly hear, so our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, let us have this sweet fellowship with your Son, Jesus Christ, as we hear your word. And through your word, let us see what our heavenly reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. And let us live by faith. By faith, let us show to the whole world that what has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly reality. Oh, thank you, Father. And we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, every time I preach to you the book of Luke, I say this: in the book of Luke, we see our Lord Jesus Christ coming and accomplishing the kingdom of God. Everything that he is doing is to accomplish that kingdom of God. The world is passing away, and behold, heaven has come. That reality is expressed in this world as the whole world being turned upside down. Mary sang about that reality in Luke chapter 1, verse 52 and 53. God has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away rich empty-handed. And that is exactly what has been accomplished. Well, Jesus is born in Luke chapter 2, and now in chapter 6, all are fulfilled, just as Mary sang in Luke chapter 1. Jesus accomplishes that reality, and he witnesses that reality through his teaching in chapter 6. That's where we are. He tells us the truth. The blessed are the poor. The blessed are the hungry. And as you hear his word, you have to realize something has changed. And we have to realize what Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. If you judge the world by what you see, then nothing has changed. But we are called to live by faith. And you need to believe what God tells you. The blessed are the poor. The blessed are the hungry. No one in this world, if God did not save that person, he will never accept this. It doesn't make sense to him. What do you mean, blessed are the poor? That's exactly what the gospel says. And you and I, we are called believers because we believe. And this is very important. If you think you're Christian but you cannot accept what God says, then there's a big problem there. Blessed are the poor and the hungry. And in our verse for today, blessed are the ones who cry. Luke chapter 6, verse 21b and 25b, blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. The reality of heaven is witnessed as the opposite in this world, as if the world has been turned upside down. Jesus says that the blessed are who weep. This world uses all of its money and time and effort so that they will not weep. The blessed are you who weep now. Obviously, this beatitude is related to the other beatitudes in the Sermon on the Plain. Those who are poor are the ones who hunger, and these are those who weep. The poor are not just materially poor, and hungry are not just physically hungry. The poor also have to be poor in spirit, and the hungry must also be hungry for the righteousness. But we notice that Jesus is implying that the poor in spirit and those who are hungry for the righteousness are, generally speaking, also poor materially and hungry physically. That's why Jesus says the way that he does. Just like all that, the one who weeps is not just weeping for the worldly reasons. Matthew talks about those who weep as those who mourn for their sins. They mourn for their sins and the sins of their neighbor. This is what Christians do. We mourn for our sins and the sins of my brothers and sisters. And they mourn of their inability not to sin when tempted. Thus, those who weep and mourn are those who repent of their sins. Blessed are you who weep now. Now, obviously, it is not about worldly sorrows, not about the worldly anxieties. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death." So we're not talking about just sorrow that this world feels. The true sorrow will lead you to repentance because we are weeping for our own sins. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Obviously, our verse is not about the false piety either. Not about the false humbleness, faking their sufferings and sadness to be seen as the pious. There are people like that. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 through 23. "If you have died with Christ to the elementary principle of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgences." It might have the appearance of wisdom as they self-abase themselves and they treat their bodies severely, not eating, you know, fasting or things like that. It might have the appearance of wisdom, but when it comes to fleshly indulgences, the Bible says it has no value whatsoever. It's only by the work of the Holy Spirit with His Word. It's by faith. Obviously, it's not about weeping that comes from one's dissatisfaction. There are people who will weep because their plan is not going according to what they desire. Or they their business is bankrupt or things like that. It's not about weeping because of those things. No. It is about weeping for one's sins and the sins of the world. God causes us, His children, to mourn of their sins. Thus, He causes us to repent of our sins. We meet Esau. You know who Esau is in the Old Testament. We read about him in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. He sought with tears. So when you look at him in the Old Testament, he cries. And everybody thinks, oh, he's repenting, but Bible says he never did. The verse shows that it was not true mourning, true Christian weeping. So this is what we need to understand. Just because someone cried doesn't mean he was actually repenting. Some people, they just cry because of their misfortune, grieving one's misfortunes. Jesus is not talking about these things. Let's go back to our passage, Luke chapter 6, verse 25b. Woe to you who laugh now. There's a warning to the worldly people who are laughing now because everything is going so well for them. Generally, the rich in this world and those who are filled in this world are the ones who laugh in this world now, obviously. But this laugh is from their arrogance, especially as they see the poor and the hungry and those who weep in this world. This laugh comes from their boasting. It is mockingly laughing. Lamentation, chapter 1, verse 7, in the days of her affliction and homelessness, Jerusalem remembers all her precious things that were from the old days of the old. When her people fell into the hand of the adversary and no one helped her, the adversary saw her, they mocked at her ruin. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 6, for as the crackling of thorn bushes under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool, and this too is futility. Especially when you are suffering, and because you say that you believe in Jesus Christ, the world will enjoy your suffering. Especially saying things like, oh, where is Jesus? Where is he doing? How come he's going through so much pain when Jesus loves it? It is foolishness. But Bible says that there's a warning to these people. Woe to you who laugh now. See, these are the ones who are without true wisdom. Their foolish laughter comes out of self-contentment, self-arrogance. Jesus warns these people. James chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and He will exalt you. The worldly things going so well, it's not good for you. Because we tend to be arrogant when things are going well. That's why you see rich people, they're very arrogant. Because obviously they think they don't need God. It's all by their own abilities and their own skills, their brain, that they're successful. But God says, be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Why? So that we could humble ourselves in the presence of the Lord. And when we truly humble ourselves, God will exalt us. And it's not about exalting you with worldly success. That's not what he's talking about. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. They might be laughing in this world now, but forever they will mourn and weep in hell. Isaiah 55 verse 14, behold, my servants will shout joyfully with a glad heart, but you will cry out with a heavy heart, and you will wail with a broken spirit. In Revelation, we see the judgment of God upon this world, symbolically called the Babylon. And this is what we read. This is the judgment upon the world. Revelation chapter 18, verse 11, verse 15, and verse 19. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. So there's misery. And some of these things are happening even today, huh? The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning. Verse 19, and they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she has been laid waste. Isn't that interesting that God gives us, this is a symbol, right? Symbolical language. And the destruction of this world, all the merchants are just crying and crying. That's God's symbol for the judgment that is coming upon this world. Why would God describe it like that? And you really need to understand what God is trying to say here. This is just foolishness to the worldly people. But the worldly mourning, their mourning and their crying is not about repenting of their sins. So for them, hell is a place of eternal mourning and weeping, eternal torment. And this is what the truth says. They need to realize that this world and the life that you live in this world, that is not everything. There's an eternal world. And, you know, 90 years, 100 years, it's not even compared to eternity. And yet these foolish people think we are the foolish one. Christians are the foolish one. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Why? Because of our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished the kingdom of God and our eternal salvation. So this laughing is in heaven. God is not saying if you are weeping now, but you trust God, then things of this world will go well for you so that you could laugh here. That is not what God is saying. The future is referring to heaven. And that is what we look forward to. Matthew tells us they will be comforted. Jesus Christ is our comfort. The only reason for us to laugh forever is because of Jesus Christ. The Christian laugh, Christian joy, it's not anything of this world. Because God says we will be joyous in heaven, but in heaven there's nothing that will belong to this world. So obviously our eternal joy has nothing to do with things of this world. Isaiah 41 verse 1 and 2, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed." The comfort, the joy that Bible speaks of is because our sins are taken care of. Not because we're successful. Or because things are going well in the world. God is telling us the reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Isaiah 57 verse 18, "I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners." God is speaking of again. What would happen to us in heaven? But brothers and sisters, that just joyous living in heaven, that is our present spiritual heavenly reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. So we live this dual reality, already and not yet. Yes, we are mourning, but because heaven is ours already, then we are also laughing, but only because of heaven. Nothing to do with what is happening in this world. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. "For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away tears from their eyes." By Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God that he has accomplished for us, all our sorrow has been completely changed to the eternal joy. Again, do you see how this world has been turned upside down for us? Isaiah 65 verse 18, "But be glad and rejoice forever in what we create, what I create," God says, "for behold, I create Jerusalem, heavenly one, for rejoicing and her people for gladness." Isaiah chapter 66, verse 10 and 11, "Be joyful with Jerusalem and rejoice for her, all you who love her. Be exceedingly glad with her, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied with her comforting breasts, that you may suck and be delighted with her bountiful bosom." Our eternal laughing reality is God's promise, even from the Old Testament. Isaiah 61 verse 2 and 3, "To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 12 through 14. "They will come and shout for joy on the height of Zion, and they will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord, over the grain and the new wine and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd, and their life will be like a water garden, and they will never languish again. Then the virgin will rejoice in the dance, and the young man and the old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. I will fill the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people will be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. This is God's promise, even from the Old Testament, that God's people will rejoice forever and ever. The eternal laughing reality of heaven enables us to endure the sufferings of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharer of our sufferings, so also you are sharer of our comfort. As we live here on earth, brothers and sisters, as you know, there are much sufferings, much tears. But we must remember and believe that the reality of eternally laughing has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about how you feel. Of course, your feeling is all about sadness and pain. But you still need to believe this laughing later, that reality has been accomplished. This is your spiritual, heavenly reality that Christ has already accomplished. Again, it sounds so foolishness to this world. I'm telling you that Christ has accomplished our eternal reality of just laughing with joy. And that is exactly what I'm telling you. So that even as you go through sufferings and pain here, you need to remember what is true of you because of what Christ has done, what He has accomplished for you. It's all about faith. Do you believe what Jesus has done for you? And we are speaking to those who believe. So, yes, you might feel sad, you might feel pain, but you still need to believe. Believe what Christ has done. He has accomplished this reality of laughing forever. And that is our reality even now. We have to believe, brothers and sisters. I'm not going to tell you that things will get better in this world. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to feel less pain and things will go your way. Probably it will get worse. But you need to remember this laughing forever reality has been accomplished. And if you truly understand what Christ has done and what He has accomplished for you, you will rejoice. It's when you judge your situation by your sight, you feel sadness and pain. But if you could see the reality that our Lord has accomplished for you already, but it's not visible yet, you will rejoice. It's all about living by faith. That's why, you know, we're not begging the world to believe. No, At least I'm not begging the world to believe. How could they? But I'm speaking to people who said they're the believers, that they believe the Bible. And Bible promises, those who mourn now will laugh forever. And that's who we are. See, this reality of weeping in this world, the Bible says that it's not forever for us. There is the end for this world, so there is the end for weeping for us in this world. We will die and we will leave this place one day. But even before we die, as we still live our lives here on earth, we could still rejoice by knowing and believing what Christ has already accomplished for us. Isaiah 60 verse 20, your sun will no longer set, nor will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the day of your mourning will be over. Isaiah 35 verse 10, and the ransom of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This sorrow and sighing, fleeing away reality is our present spiritual reality in Jesus Christ. Just realize what has happened in Christ. Even as you feel so sad, realize what has happened in Christ. And believe. And I keep saying this. For those who are Christians and don't want to believe this, I say to that person, you die right now and you realize, oh, yes, rejoicing forever reality is my reality. You will see it when you die, that it is your present reality. But even without dying, believe what the Bible says to you. That your reality is laughing forever reality. See, life of weeping in this world. We must remember that this was the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you and I weeping in this world, it's obvious. Because that's the life that Jesus lived. Of course, he never mourned for his own sin. Why? Because he never sinned. He's without sin. But he wept for the sins of his people. We see the example of this everywhere. Luke chapter 19 verse 41, when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it. He wept over our sins. He wept over the death of Lazarus. He wept over us who were created in the image of God, and yet because of our sins, that image is defiled by sin. We read about our Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 55 verse 3 and 4. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Jesus Christ, he bore our griefs and our sorrows he carried. It says he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And this was the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I have been invited to live this life. It's being humble. Because we know how sinful we are in the presence of God. Obviously, I believe Jesus laughed when he lived his life here on earth. But the interesting thing is that all four Gospels never mention that he laughed, that he smiled. You will not find it. And the Bible says he was a man of sorrow because of our sins. Joel chapter 2, verse 13 and 12 and 13. Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, you render your heart and not your garments. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let's come to God with mourning and weeping because of sins that we commit like it's nothing. If this is not your life, then you're not living according to what the Bible tells us how Christian must live. We like cheerful people, of course. But how can you be so cheerful when you realize how sinful you are? And that even just one day you sin over and over and over again. We must weep. You have to take sin seriously. And your rejoicing should come only after your repentance of your sins. Yes, when we go to heaven, we will never sin. So there is no need of repentance. We'll just rejoice all the time. But until we get to that heaven, we do sin. And look around you. All the judgment of God that is being poured out in all places in this world. People are killing one another. Diseases are killing people. And you need to realize all this is because of sin. And obviously the world hates this kind of talking. And even some Christians hate it. But this is the truth. You and I, we need to repent of our sins. It haunts me, you know, there's a Revelation passage where God pours out His judgment upon the world, like what we see in the world, diseases and wars. You know, he pours out this judgment. And at the end, Bible says, but nobody repented. Nobody repented. Now, when you see, like, we have virus for how many years now? And always pray for the parents. They have a very hard job, but they need to discipline their kids. They have to. Not because I said that, that is God's command. And they have to. And that's how they grow, and that's how they learn about how to worship God. They look at parents and, oh, so that's how they worship. And that's how they learn. So when you see, just like in that Revelation passage, when you see God pouring out His judgment upon this world, what is your reaction? Do you repent? Is that what you do when you read about these things in the internet, when you look at these things in the news? Do you repent? Otherwise, you're just doing the same thing that the Bible says, that they did not repent, even after all that judgment they saw. So this verse for us today tells us what is missing in our lives. Let us weep for our sins. This is a serious problem that we have. Yes, Jesus Christ has completely solved it. All that is so true. But we still need to weep for our sins. God says, now return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and relenting of evil. You and I have become those who weep and mourn because of our sins. We mourn and weep for our sins and sins of our neighbor. And thus we are the ones who shall in the future laugh in heaven forever. That life of heaven has already begun, as I said. Thus our confession now and forever will be Psalm 30, verse 1. You, God, have turned for me my mourning and mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. By faith, see your heavenly reality, brothers and sisters. See your salvation reality. Revelation 21, verse 4. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, and there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. By faith, brothers and sisters, let us witness this reality, this our eternal reality, as we live our lives here on earth. Let us show everyone what is true of us in Christ. So, brothers and sisters, whenever you face pain and suffering, and sometimes you don't know what to do, it's so hard. But remember, brothers and sisters, don't just focus on what has happened, but focus on what Jesus Christ has already accomplished for you. He made us laugh forever. So I'll be glad, no matter what situation. Simple as that. He made me to laugh forever. Forever. So even as I weep for my sins, that weeping will turn to laughing. Because that is exactly what Jesus Christ has accomplished for me. You will see me laugh forever in that glorious place. But Bible tells me that that reality is already my reality in Jesus Christ. So Father, brothers and sisters, let us laugh. Let us rejoice. We know you're suffering. God knows you're suffering. And yet, you have every reason to laugh now in Jesus Christ. This is what is true of us in Christ. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You cause us to weep because of our sins. But You have made us promise that we shall laugh because we are weeping now. And You have also told us that laughing forever reality is already accomplished for us to possess and enjoy. So even as we weep for our sins, let us also laugh in Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we thank you for what your Son has done and accomplished for us. We love you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.